Don't miss anything of Roo and Dits for breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Southgate Holden, 49 Main South Road, Ranella, 3 years free servicing plus 5 years warranty and 5 years roadside assist on the 2017 plate range. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, hello on this Wednesday morning. How are you, Roo?
Oh, very, very well. Thank
Weigh-in
you,
Dits. Day today.
Oh, yes. I reckon I'll be right today.
I'm feeling good. I fell off the rails a little bit before the weekend. However,
oh, really?
The last few days of training have been brutal, and I feel like I'm going to be all right.
You're back.
I'm in another notch. Another notch. I'll have to buy new clothes soon.
That's good. Yeah. You know what? I went to go in another notch, and I haven't got another notch on my belt.
Oh. Well, don't buy belts
no
so small.
More
That's what
notches.
That means. Yeah, righto. Hey, Roo, the cricket is still dominating.
Roo and Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, the big three things making news around the place. What have you got?
Facebook have been in the news. Their shares are going down overnight again because more information has come out about the fact that one in three Australians who use Facebook would have had all their phone calls and text messages viewed or looked at, recorded over the last 3 years.
You're joking.
No. So not just text messages, phone calls. All right, so, you know, when you're on the phone, you think, you know, it's all private and stuff, but Facebook are getting so much information out of so many people, and
that has
who
to be
knows
shut
what
down.
They're doing with it.
That has to be shut down, sure.
Well, the shares are going down for a reason. Ditch people aren't happy.
Wow.
Interesting times ahead,
this
isn't
is
it?
Espionage at its highest level.
Well, it is. And we've spoken about this, Dits, a number of times, and we will continue to until we see some sort of change. But it seems like our laws, maybe Grant Stevens is the man to speak to later on, and we're going to have the police commissioner on later on in the show. But when social media laws have got to catch up with real laws at some point,
yes,
don't they?
Yes,
they
you're
do.
Right. You know. Yeah.
Well, and at the moment, no one's said that Facebook probably can't even do it. I don't know.
No, I agree. It's a very good comment you've
Interesting.
Just made.
Interesting.
Yep. Hey, Roo, Powerball is in the news. Now, we have the odd flutter on Powerball. I see where
Thursday
last
night,
jackpot
Powerball?
About 2 weeks ago was $40 million.
Well, it's enough to whet your appetite and
they're
go and
changing,
buy a ticket.
As of April 13, they're changing Powerball, and not everyone's happy about it.
I've changed it a couple of times already to try and make it more appealing because it was very hard to win on Powerball. Mm.
So at the moment, we play, there are 40 balls. You've got to get six numbers plus the Powerball, right?
Yep, and that's one in 20, isn't it, Powerball?
Yep, that's right.
The Powerball.
Yep. So the changes will be you've now got to get seven numbers out of 35 balls plus the Powerball.
Right.
Now in my head, I thought, oh, that sounds better. Now, don't take my word for this because I run out of fingers and toes, but there's a professor of mathematics out of the University of Melbourne. Cop this, Roo. Get your abacus and your calculator out for this one. Mm. You now go from a 1 in 76 million chance of winning Powerball to 1 in 134 million chance of winning Powerball.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I don't like those odds, Dits.
Doesn't sound real good, does it?
No.
I'd rather back a greyhound, I think.
The more balls you're going to get, the less probability of getting it, I would say, because you've got to multiply. Each time you go and try and get one of the balls out, you've got to multiply it by the next time you're going to get one out.
And then so you carry the one. And
carry
then
it over and divide it by that and times by that.
One in 134 mil.
Do the brackets
there weren't
first,
enough zeros on my calculator. I was trying to work it
you
out.
You can't do it on the calculator.
No. Why do you think blew up?
In other words, if you're going to buy a Powerball, just realise that you might not win.
Need a lot of luck.
Yeah. Anyway.
You might not win first time.
I might have a crack, though. Yeah. Pubs are open on Good Friday.
Oh, you're joking.
Yes.
Hell, this is controversial.
What are the odds of that happening?
That's right. This is enough to make Jesus come back from the dead.
He might come.
He'll wake up on Good Friday and go, what's going on?
It wasn't a Good Friday when you couldn't get a beer. If you weren't organised on Easter Thursday, then you realised, shit, I'm going to have another carton of Coronas or
but
something
you know,
this weekend.
As it turns out, we are a bit behind the rest of the world because I know you know now we've got SANFL on Good Friday.
Yeah, three games.
Yeah, the NRL have always played.
AFL.
Yeah, so it's the rest of the world's been doing this forever. We're the ones that have been lagging behind.
We're not that church anymore.
No. Nah. So times are changing. Yep. So we can get a beer on Good Friday. It'll cost you $15 a schooner, but you'll be able to get a beer on Good Friday.
Yeah, if you
Friday.
Open your pub, you have to pay all your staff right. 2.5 times what they're really worth.
Yeah.
But anyway, good luck with that. Most pubs probably won't open, I would have thought.
Yeah, because it will be expensive to open.
$50-odd an hour. pour a beer.
Yeah.
Anyway, there are our top three things. Big Mao's going to join us next. I'm sure he's got plenty to say about the cricket.
Ruin Dits for breakfast.
I've heard it on the radio.
I only have time for one breakfast show. The Prime Minister.
So you had to open your mouth and articulate.
Malcolm Big Mao Turnbull.
Oh, we're so lucky to have him, aren't we, Roo, the number one man?
Well, I tell you what, he gave the cricket team a spray on the weekend. Big Mao, you didn't hold back.
Good morning to you, Roo. Hello to you, Dits, and everybody listening in Adelaide on Triple M. Of course I did, because cheating is not the Australian way, as both of you know. As you great, honourable sportsmen that you are, we are a nation of the fair go. On top of that, our reputation as a sporting nation feeds directly into national psyche. Our national identity, if you will, is at stake here. That, and I saw a great opportunity to bury the 29th news poll. They say being the Australian cricket captain is the second toughest job in the country. Correction, toughest. And good luck to Tim Payne. His some advice, don't tamper with your balls.
No.
Don't tamper with anybody's balls. No, I mean, just play the game straight.
Exactly. Hey, we expect our politicians to cheat, but not our cricketers. I mean, that's a different story, isn't it?
Well, have you ever cheated?
What about Daniel Andrews over in the Labor politician in Victoria? He got caught cheating.
Typical communists stealing our money to use on their own push, their own weird... I don't know what he was doing over there, Daniel Andrews. He
does
look like a real nerd, but he's a thief.
Yeah.
I feel bad asking this question, but have you ever cheated, Prime Minister?
Oh, don't be stupid.
Well, no. Let me say this. Some may draw a sketchy analogy, Dits, between my win-at-all-costs, narcissistic Prime Minister, shock and awe tactics, white-handing an ultimate victory to wrestle the Prime Ministership off Tony.
Right.
But I never went the guy with hardware stuffed down my trousers.
No.
I didn't have an angle grinder in my jocks or a glue gun wedged in my butt crack or nestling against my junk. I mean...
You've never had any sticky near your dicky.
That's right. I mean, who puts sandpaper down their trousers next to their old fella?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it smooth enough?
So some things just don't go together, do they?
That's right.
Hey, Easter this weekend, Big Mao. How do you spend it, mate? What do you do with Lucy?
Well, it's an Easter egg hunt, of course. Easter is a time of redemption when we celebrate the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's chocolate, it's camping, it's a long weekend, it's a round of football that seems to go forever. Next stop, Queen's birthday. But Lucy and I often get some friends over at the pipe for a fondue party, crank up the tunes, get a little fruity. I get hammered on Sangiovese and pass out on the couch wearing bunny ears.
Hey, this sounds like an orgy.
It is an orgy.
How do we get an invite to this
show?
You got
it in one. It's an orgy. It goes right off. Once we nailed a guy to a cross, it was hilarious. But,
God, that would be great.
Before I go, I just want to say that Triple M rocks. Wait for it, everybody. The Mile End Bunnings, especially the sandpaper department. Get down there, Cameron Bancroft.
Right. You're on
Thanks,
fire.
Big Mal. Have a good Easter.
Bye now. Happy Easter to you. Good on you.
Bye. Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
The investigation being conducted by our head of integrity, Ian Roy. Ian was also accompanied by two ICC integrity officers. The key finding is that prior knowledge of the ball tampering incident was limited to three players, Captain Steve Smith, Vice-Captain David Warner and Cameron Bancroft. No other players or support staff had prior knowledge, and this includes Darren Lehman, who, despite inaccurate media reports, has not resigned from his position. He will continue to coach the Australian men's team under his current contract. All three players who have been reported will leave South Africa tomorrow. Their replacements in the Australian squad for the fourth test here in Johannesburg will be Matthew Renshaw, Glenn Maxwell and Joe Burns. Tim Payne has been officially appointed captain of the Australian men's test team.
So this is major or a massive upheaval. Roo, he went on to say that the bans to be handed down to these players will fit the crime. So we can expect...
They need to be substantial. They need to send a message that ball tampering is not acceptable in Australian cricket. And I hope the ICC upgrade all their bans that they've been dishing out the last few years. They are pathetic. For Bancroft to get a 75% of his match fee and allowed to play is disgusting. Mm. It's basically saying we don't think ball tampering's that bad.
No.
So fix it up and sort it out. Otherwise, this is going to keep going on. I'm interested about Darren Lehman. I love Buff. He's a mate of mine, mate of yours, Dits. And I hope like hell he didn't know anything about it. That's what they've said there. Because if he did know something about it, and Warner is as crazy as they say he is and as mad as they say he is, and if he gets hung out to dry and he's out for a long time here, it will come out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It'll come out. People will talk.
They need to be smart enough for that. They've
when everyone arrives
here,
back, yep, they'll tell someone and there'll be Chinese whispers and something will get out if they're not telling the truth.
There's already people like Kevin Peterson, and numerous other people saying that it's impossible that Buff didn't know. But I'm not saying he did by any stretch, and I hope he didn't because we all love Buff. But please, just they've got to be honest here.
Yeah. All right, in a moment, we're going to cross to South Africa. Robert Avardi of Channel 7 was at the airport with the players overnight.
He was in the hotel as well.
Saw a couple of things.
David Warner was supposedly drinking champagne with his mates. Yeah. And
away from the team, doesn't care.
Didn't look good.
We'll find out more from South Africa in just a moment. Ruined it's on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, let's go straight to South Africa now. On the news services last night on Channel 7, I saw this man with his microphone. He was right there in the thick of it. Robert Avardi, a Channel 7 news reporter. He joins us now from Johannesburg. Robert, good morning.
Gents, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. They were very tight-lipped, obviously. We saw you in the airport there, but anything you were able to glean from the background, anything from the periphery of the team, what is coming out of the change room of the Australian team? Because they are absolutely fractured right now.
They are fractured. They are pretty well broken. I think you could say that the mood here is somewhat funereal. And I will give you one little insight in terms of the pressure bearing down on these players. I spoke with Steve Smith. It was a pretty one-sided conversation, as you might have seen, that they weren't speaking. And he wasn't answering questions, and I felt a little awkward for him. He was behind his sunglasses. I said, mate, are you not allowed to speak? Have you been told you can't speak? And his response was kind of a shudder, almost like he was going to start crying. The pressure on him and the downfall in the past few days. Look at who this man was a week ago compared to today. He is absolutely shattered.
Have you got near David Warner?
Yes, David Warner was very much stone-faced, and he is quickly emerging as the villain in this piece. And I tell you what, Cricket Australia really has the mood to throw the book at him. They have all the ammo they want in the world now. David Warner was one of the main protagonists, quite vocal in a dispute with Cricket Australia about player conditions and pay. He is continually in the headlines for sledging and aggressive tactics, even pushing sharp with some of the South African players off the field as well. And now you have this. So I would suggest to you that he's probably going to cop the worst of it. The suggestion is that the idea to tamper with the ball was David Warner's suggestion. Steve Smith was aware, and of course we know Cameron Bancroft was the one who did it.
Is it true that he was drinking champagne with his own mates in the hotel lobby, as if to say, sort of stuff you and celebrating? And is that right? And is it right also that the other Australian cricketers wanted to get him out of the hotel before a fight happened?
I can confirm that, that I have been told that by a source. I was told before that was subsequently reported that they wanted him out of the hotel. That is absolutely true according to what I've been told. It has also been reported in a way that I haven't confirmed it by very esteemed cricket writers that David Warner has also removed himself from a WhatsApp group of players as well. So that is really only pointing in one direction. And I can tell you there are other members of the Australian team, specifically Mitchell Starc, Josh Hazlewood, who deeply resent having been implicated in this from the beginning. Well, a short time ago from James Sutherland, we heard that only three players had prior knowledge of this, and they are the three who will be going home on a plane tomorrow.
Why did Steve Smith say that then? Did he panic?
You have to question a lot of Steve Smith's motives. Before this week, he came across as an honourable man, a good, strong leader, just a decent bloke who loved his cricket. And ironically, to a certain extent, it was honourable of him to not just let Cameron Bancroft take the fall, but he stepped in and admitted it, put his hand up. There was no self-preservation there. But of course, look at what he was trying to defend. It was absolutely horrific. It was cheating. It was the captain of the Australian team coercing a junior player to cheat to force an outcome of a result. And that's not who we are, and that's why the result has been so strong.
Robert, our reputation is now damaged right around the world as a sporting nation as a result of this. What are the public in South Africa like at the moment? Have you witnessed anything? Like when you were in the airport, are, there, are people sledging our Australian cricketers? You know, is there a backlash from the public over this over there?
No, they're not. I mean, there is a bit of humour. There's like, you know, kind of a bit of smart-arsery involved, and it's not so much aggro. The media has probably reacted the same way the Australian media would, using words like, at their lowest point, outrage, all those sorts of shock words about the Australian team, suggesting that the ICC's punishment for Stephen Smith, just a one-match ban and a match fine, was insufficient. But it hasn't been a huge outcry. I can tell you the lynch mob for these players has been far more significant in Australia than here in Johannesburg.
Do you believe that Darren Lehman didn't know anything about it? What are the other cricket commentators saying about this?
Well, you know what? You just wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. I mean, Cricket Australia has done the best they can. They say they've tried to be transparent. It was revealed today that there were a couple of International Cricket Council independent observers there while the players were being questioned, just to preserve the integrity of the process, so it's not a big fix. Having said that, we're not to know what discussions were being held by Darren Lehman and players behind closed doors before those Cricket Australia investigators came to start asking questions. Mm-hmm. So you have to, at the moment, without any other evidence to the contrary, you have to say Darren Lehman did not know anything about it.
Robert, thanks for taking our call. We appreciate it. Robert Avadia there from Channel 7, and he was in the thick of it, Ruin. Watching that vision last night, you could the tension at that airport was just, you could feel it, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah, horrible.
Yeah. Yep. Ruin Dits on Triple M.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Ru, as you know, when the Tigers won the grand final last year, I thought the man that took it best of all, he was quiet, he was humble, and just took it in his stride.
Yep.
And he's on his way here for the grand final rematch tomorrow
night. And he'll
do
it all again.
And he's so unassuming about it. We're talking about Mick Malloy, and he joins us now. G'day, Mick.
I'm driving from Melbourne to Adelaide in a Pope Mobile. I'll be waiting the entire way. I'll give you an itinerary. Adelaide Crows fans, feel free to line the highway enter the town district.
We'll find out how bulletproof that Pope Mobile is. Don't worry about that, Mick. Gee whiz.
We'll give it a test.
I was going to come over and do some filming for the front bar, maybe just kind of standing at the end of the bridge there as everyone came through in a Richmond jumper, standing there in the replica cup. And I was talked out of it by authorities in Adelaide who said, yeah, that might be the smartest idea.
I saw a bloke do a suey off it the other day and he come out alive. So,
anyway, one more sleep, boys.
We're looking forward to tomorrow night. I'm a bit nervous. Mick, I see you guys are $2.40. I reckon you should be $1.50 the way you're playing and the way we're playing at the moment. I think the Tiger juggernaut is just starting to gain more momentum.
It's $1.50 unless Cochin wins the toss.
Then you never know, do you? Yeah.
He will have a migraine if he does that again.
Oh, no. Look, it'll be good. Is Tex playing? That's all I need to know.
Tex will be playing by the sounds of it. He sounds like he's in.
Well, that's not very good news for anyone concerned. Should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Love going to Adelaide, and it'll be a load of fun for everyone concerned. Where are you watching it?
We're calling it from
Triple M.
You're calling it?
We did hear on your show yesterday that you get under the pub and pulling down all the pictures of myself because there's probably 100 of them up in the pub.
No, well, I said, hang on, don't paraphrase. What I said was, we usually have a bet on the game, you and I. If I win, I never pay out. If you win, you're obliged to give me something. But I said, no, that would be a good bet if we took down all the pictures of you in the pub and put the ones of me up.
Who did you compare me to, though? Some Chinese fella.
Mao Zedong.
Sorry, lady. Oh, mind you, I think you've been fatter than him. Have you losing weight? What's happening? First time I saw you, I thought it was two blokes in a Mark Rashino suit. What's going on there?
You want to have a look now? I tell you what, I'm fighting fit now. What's on the front bar tonight, Mick?
As for you, Dits, I felt like I was going to shoot you in the ass with a tranquilizer dart. Let's see if we can put it down for a minute.
Want to be a long bounce, needle, it'll just you. Bounce off now. It's rock hard.
And tonight, we've got Jeff Kennett on tonight.
Jeff Kennett?
Jeff Kennett, who's back as a president of the Hawthorn Football Club, and he's always good value.
Why don't you get someone on that likes to, you know, say something? Crikey.
You don't die wondering, do you? He doesn't mince words, and I think it's good for football. And I think that's it in the terms of guest department. We'll be having a look at the first two rounds and what's been going on, and we're looking forward to a big one tonight.
Yeah, well, good on you, Mickey. We love the show, mate. The front bar is absolutely brilliant. Mick, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you here tomorrow.
No ball tampering tonight, boys.
No.
All right.
See you, Mickey. Get some sticky near your dicky, Mickey.
See you. The front bar, it's on Channel 7 tonight from 8:30. It is the best footy show on TV. Yeah. Triple M. Ruined it's here, all thanks to Southgate Holden down there at 49 Main South Road at Ranella. They got the new ZB Commodores down there with a 7-year unlimited kilometre warranty. That's amazing. And there's over 100 Southgate certified used cars as well. Talk to the team down there, Stuart, Ben. You've got Nick and Nick. There are two Nicks. And the rest of the Southgate Holden team down there as well.
Great team down
Check
there.
Check them out down there. Ask about the Holden Equinox as well. Good new car.
I might just do that.
Right. Hey, Roo.
Stevens going to join us shortly.
Commissioner?
He just got stuck at the red light down there and an orange light, so he's just pulled
Well,
up
he's been told you can't go through amber lights at the moment.
Not anymore.
You'll get fined.
Yep. So
by SA Police.
That's exactly right. So he'll join us very, very shortly in the meantime.
So, Roo, it's our weigh-in today.
It is our weigh-in at 8:22.
Are you confident?
I am confident.
So when we started this weigh-in going back a few weeks ago with Next Generation and Get Healthy SA, you started riding your bike into work again, as you do.
I got over my accidents that I've had.
Something my dad always taught me as a little fella, he said, if you're going to pick a fight, make sure you pick your target well. Make sure you know you can actually win.
Yeah.
Don't pick someone that's bigger and stronger than you.
Don't take
on someone that you know you're just, you know, you're going to get pummeled. And
what
I get the feeling, well, this is kind of what you've done. This is the stupidest, dumbest thing I've ever heard. I thought you were smarter than this. Is it true? Word is filtered back to me. You're out riding, and our Daniel, our PT down at Next Generation, said you've got to start doing sprints. So, in other words, don't just ride to work. Start doing some interval work.
Yeah.
Tell me what happened. This goes back a couple of weeks ago. I'm told you lined up at the lights next to a fella and you thought,
hang on. Okay.
What happened?
I did.
Well, what happened?
Okay. All right. Well, obviously, I've got a mountain bike, Ditz, because I like to do a bit of off-road and go through the parklands and, you know, all of that sort
off-road.
Of stuff. So it's not as fast as a normal road bike. Let me just say that. Excuse number one.
No, you're on it.
And this is on the back of last year, actually. Last year on Green Hill Road, I was riding away, you know, head down, bum up, bloody tires a little bit flat, into a headwind.
Third excuse.
Bag on the back,
Fourth
chugging
excuse.
Away.
Righto.
Thinking I was working my backside off, and then a lady overtook me on her bike. She's gone, fuck, get out of the way, Roo. Have a look. It's Jenny Williams.
No.
Choco Williams' sister.
Now, listen.
Who's a very smart lady.
And been a great athlete in her day.
Absolutely.
But, do you know what? You're not
How old's Jenny?
Well, you're not meant to talk about ladies' ages, but she's 61.
She's in her 60s.
You got overtaken by Jenny Williams. Come on.
I tell you, did I duck the head when she went past? I don't think she knew it was me. But
See, port people, were that competitive out there riding a bike?
So I just put my head down and kept on going, and Jenny just flew off. She just left me in the dust, honestly.
You know, but what happened? Get to this point. What happened a couple of weeks ago?
Well, the other week I was riding up Green Hill Road again. I got past, so if you picture going past Air Apartments there on the corner of Green Hill and Fullerton. So I'm heading east. It starts to go up the hill a little bit there.
Right.
And this is where I start digging in and I really have a hard 15 minutes on the way home. Sort of this hipster dude just pulled up next to me at the lights and, you know, he got the big beard and wavy hair and got this bike that sort of looked worse than mine and got a couple of sort of saddlebags down the back of the bike.
Right.
And I thought...
He's up against it.
I sort of started speaking to him and said, oh, you don't mind if I go out here, do you, mate? Because I don't want to get, you know, I don't want you to get in my way.
No.
Anyway, I'm cruised off and I'm in front of him. I didn't even know how far behind me was. I'm working through the gears and really going hard up there, up that lane on Green Hill Road. get up to the next set of lights, pull up, and he pulled up about a second or two behind me, and I thought, shit, this hipster can ride. Yeah, well, good, and I'm blowing, and he's not too bad, and I thought, he's probably fitter than I thought. So I thought, I'll go a bit harder when the lights go green. Took off, get closer up towards Port Rush Road up there, pull up. He's right behind me again. I think, geez, how's this bloke doing? He's got two bloody saddlebags down the back that you see on those big motorbikes that look like they've got about 20 kilos in each. I take off at the next lights heading up towards Glenburn Road, and he's come past me like Jenny Williams did. And at that point, I've looked up and realised he's hardly even spinning his pedals. And he must have one of those electric bikes, those bikes with a little motor on. And I've got.
So he's on a motorised bike.
Thank God for that. I've been working my backside off for about 6 weeks on my push bike, training hard. And I've got a bloody hipster overtaking me on a bike that's an electric bike. So I breathed a sigh of relief. I kicked it back a couple of gears and thought, I mustn't be going too bad.
She nearly had a heart attack trying to beat this bloke.
I've been overtaken by 61-year-old Jenny Williams, and I've been overtaken by a hipster on an electric bike.
It reminds me when Gavin Wanganeen was at his peak at Port Adelaide, and Matthew Primus once told me they had to do cycling one pre-season. They were riding up Cement Hill Road at Brighton, that big hill. And Gavin Wanganeen apparently wasn't partial to hard work. Didn't like the hard. He just came out when the footies came out and did his magic. And they reckon that a lady, an old lady with her shopping, she had a basket on the front of her bike and an orange flag on the back, went past him up Cement Hill.
Oh, Wangers. He would have taken a dive. That would have been enough for Wangers. He would have thrown it in after that.
In a moment, the Police Commissioner Grant Stevens is going to join us. We've got plenty of things to ask him about in the lead up to Easter.
104.7 Triple M.
Brew, the Police Commissioner here in South Australia, Grant Stevens, is coming. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks for coming in.
Is it okay for Jenny Williams to go outside the bike lane and overtake me or not, Grant? Because I thought it was just breaking the rules.
Well, mate, it's honest. Probably the same as going around a parked car. So
yeah,
she has to.
That's what I'm like, a parked car.
You know, you can get done for driving too slow, car. You're dangerous. Can you get pulled up on your bike for going too slow?
You just have to live with the humiliation.
Yeah, I did. Don't worry about that. I was very quiet.
Just ask you about the roads. We have so many things to ask you about. I'll rip into them quickly now. Easter Blitz. I get, you know, normally there is some sort of police presence like that. Is something happening this Easter?
Yep, starts 3 o'clock this afternoon. We actually increase our focus on driver behaviour, knowing that people are starting to head away for the long weekend. So the message is the same. If you're leaving, make sure you leave plenty of time, drive responsibly, and make sure you focus on getting there rather than the journey itself.
For sure. I always want to rush to get there, but what's the point of getting there 10 minutes quicker or 15 minutes quicker over 2 hours?
If people stop and reflect on the fact that you push the boundaries, you take the risk of a speeding fine, you increase the risk of a crash, it's just not worth it.
We just want to hit you up with a few topics that come to mind.
Fire away.
Talking about bikes at the moment. You know, I was driving down Green Hill Road the other day. There's two cyclists. One's in the bike lane. One's about 6-8 inches outside the bike lane, side by side. Is that illegal or not? And why wouldn't they just ride behind each other?
Well, they can ride side by side as long as they're both in the bike lane. So where there's a bike lane,
it's pretty tight.
Cyclists, some you can actually do it. But there are a lot of occasions when you see that when one cyclist is in the lane, one's out. The one who is out of the lane is breaking the law, and gives a bad name to all cyclists because we know it's an emotional thing, the relationship between car drivers and cyclists. So everybody's got to do the right thing, and it makes it hard for everyone.
Mm. If I drive past them and wind my window down and abuse them, is that illegal?
Well, you should expect a mouthful back, mate.
I don't know. It's fair, as long as I know.
Commissioner is a bike rider himself out there, ladies and gentlemen, and a very law-abiding bike rider as well. Home invasions is always a topic. We're seeing plenty of this happening in Melbourne. We saw it happen to a degree with Patrick Ryder, the Port Adelaide champion, who hurt his Achilles last weekend. He had three young people come into his house at 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Is this happening more and more in South Australia? And what are they after? They're trying to knock off keys and things for joyrides, don't they?
That seems to be the current trend. It's not about breaking into the house to look for valuables. It's about going in, grabbing car keys and stealing the car. We haven't seen a noticeable increase in this sort of crime in South Australia.
Yep.
And that's not to say that we're not concerned about it, because we do know we have small groups of individuals who do this sort of thing, and it's quite traumatic for the families who are affected by it.
Yep.
And we know when they steal a car like that, they drive like idiots and put everybody at risk. So we are focused on this. We do look at the offenders we know do this, but it's also important to point out with Paddy Ryder's situation, like, yeah, he did a great job. He apprehended somebody, and we just remind people to think about the circumstances before they do that, because
could
the
have
last
been a knife.
Thing we, well, that's right. You don't know what you're stepping into. Now, you know, Paddy did a good job. He did our job for us, which is excellent, but we just remind people to think about what risks they're taking before they step into that, and what the likely outcome might be.
Another thing we read about in Melbourne is the issues with gangs and African gangs and things like that, whether them just, you know, running amok in the streets or getting into fights, but certainly doing the, you know, knocking on front doors and coming in and doing stuff.
Yeah.
Have we got an issue with Africans here, or do you think there's going to be one, or is it different in Adelaide to what it is in Melbourne?
I think the bottom line is it's different in Adelaide than it is in Melbourne. It's about the size of our population, the way we integrate our different communities, the level of engagement we have with these communities. I think it is a different scenario. We've seen no trends whatsoever of problems like this. Any groups that sort of try to integrate into a new community are going to have some teething problems. There's no doubt about that. But we haven't seen anything that would sort of really spike our concern. And I'm hoping that's not my famous last words on this.
Yes, okay. Yeah. And we should point out too, when you say that, we only say African gangs because we have seen the publicity out of Melbourne. We're not picking on
that
part of the community at all. And in fact, I think I'm right, Commissioner, in saying that you've recruited police officers from that part of the community.
That's right. Yeah. We've just recently brought on a couple of community constables who come from that cultural background, and they have the ability to enhance the level of engagement we have and actually break through some of those barriers that exist in terms of their understanding or perceptions about police.
Yep.
And, you know, work with them when they have issues about law and order issues. So, our community constable program is a really good one.
Right, good idea.
And we have a smaller community here, so it means it's easier for us to engage with them.
Been a bad 12 months for motorcyclists. A lot of deaths on the road through stupidity and just riding too fast, and probably a bit of bad luck as well. What's happening out there in the world of motorbikes?
Yeah, last year we had an unprecedented number of motorcycle riders die on our roads, and it's a real cause for concern, and it's a challenge for us too, because there's two categories that we have trouble intervening with, and that's the, once again, the idiots who get on their motorbikes and really fang it, go through the Adelaide Hills or, you know, doing monos along the beachfront. Now, sometimes you are the master of your own destiny, and when you come, when it has fatal consequences, there's no one to blame but yourself, and it's hard for us to stop that. The other group are the midlife crisis people who choose a motorbike instead of golf or cycling and get onto a powerful motorcycle that they used to ride 25, 30 years ago, and it's beyond their capability, and they take risks that they don't even realise they're taking. So we really caution people to just take it easy, and your mistake, your comment about sometimes you're just unlucky. You're only unlucky if you're not driving or riding to the conditions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you've got to be. You're a vulnerable road user on a motorbike. You've got to be careful.
You've got to predict what everyone else is doing, don't you? Like when you're on a push bike.
Yeah. There's no second chances on a push bike or a motorbike. When you're in a prang, the chances are you're going to come off second best.
All right, big topic that's been around now for a few years: ice. And it's funny when I hear the word ice mentioned now, I almost think, oh, it's too hard. It's just everywhere. And how on earth are we ever going to get on top of this? How would you respond to that sort of statement? Are we getting on top of it, do you think?
Well, it certainly is an emerging issue for us. And our observations are that we don't actually have more people using amphetamines. We have more people who use amphetamines are now using ice. It's cheaper and it's easier to get. So we haven't seen an explosion in the number of people using drugs. We've seen an increase in the use of this particular drug amongst those people who use drugs. That doesn't mean it's not a problem, because all the indicators are that ice is far more addictive. It causes more aggressive behaviours, and we've seen some of the devastating impact it has on families and communities. So it is a challenge for us, but law enforcement is only one part of the solution. You know, we can try and stop the demand, the supply, by arresting people who are producing the stuff and selling it, but there's got to be other measures in place that stop people from wanting to use it.
I know you've probably got to be careful about policy here, because it's the government that makes the laws and you have to enforce them. But one thing I've discussed with Roo here, would you like, and again, I don't know if you're allowed to comment on this, say just as a parent rather than police commissioner, would you like us to go down the path of Singapore, Malaysia, Bali, where, you know, if you arrest someone knowing that they have supplied 100 kids with this stuff, that they get 30 years in jail? Or, I mean, I guess my question to you is, do those measures work, do you think, if we were to sort of contemplate that?
I don't think people think about consequences when they commit crime. They think about the opportunities, they think about the profit, they think about facilitating their own drug-taking behaviour. They're not stopping to think about what the courts have dictated will be a penalty, or the government's stipulated will be a penalty for these offences. So,
what about the people who bring in a tonne?
Yeah, they're still doing it. No, we hear stories about people who are trafficking drugs through Bali, knowing that they have the death penalty, and they actually execute people. So it's a fine. There has to be a proper sanction for the offences committed, but it's a bit of a balancing act to make sure that you're not sort of applying extreme measures, knowing that they probably don't have that much impact on some people.
Ditz and I were surprised to read that there's a bit of a focus on people going through amber lights sort of a week or so ago. Do you want to tell us the rationale behind that?
Yeah, well, look, I think it's a fairly common sense sort of thing. If you think about the circumstances when you're approaching an intersection and the light goes orange, that's an indicator for you to slow down and stop where it's safe to do so. Yep. If the light goes orange and you're too close to the intersection, it gives you time to enter and exit the intersection. Yep. And we've all seen people who hit the accelerator as soon as they see the orange, and they're the people we're targeting.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
If you're really sort of giving it a squirt to get through the orange light, then, and if there's a cop car behind you, expect to see the red and blue lights afterwards, because it is an offence. And if you cross over a line at an intersection when the light is orange, you are entitled to continue going through. So if you stop and block the intersection, you're also causing a problem. So not everybody gets a fine for these sorts of offences. We know that the orange light provides some level of subjectivity, because people can interpret whether they got time or not, which is why out of the 2,400-odd expiation notices that were issued, only 800 of those were for fines, and the rest of them were warnings.
Okay.
We bring people to the... We bring their attention to the fact that they're doing the wrong thing. But if it's a blatant, risky action, expect a fine.
Fair enough.
Commissioner, thanks for coming in. We feel we've got 100 things to ask you, but we just haven't got the time. But we'd love to do it again if we
can
soon.
Absolutely, not a problem.
Thank you very, very much. Police Commissioner here in South Australia, Grant Stevens.
Thanks, guys.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on Triple M.
I see you got fat.
Get fit with Ruin Dits.
I'm not really as blubbery as I look, all right? No. I just want to point that out.
And I'm not either.
Head to triplem.com.au to get on board.
Oh, it's time. Gee,
you are dreading this. You've had the longest plateau in the history of plateaus.
I know. I'm just looking at the board here. So 1, 2, 3, in 4 weeks, I dropped bugger all, didn't I? Really?
You actually dropped 1.1 kilos in 4 weeks. And you've been training super hard at the gym with
Can I go
with,
first? I just want to get
Daniel.
This out of the way. Can I jump on first?
Well, I see. You look like you're
jocks?
Ready to go. Yeah.
Oh, I'm near the newies.
$3 for $10.
Yeah. Got ripped off.
All right.
Now, I was 106.5 last week.
You went up.
Here we go. Yeah, I did go up last week.
And you broke the rules on the weekend as well.
I've got to go down this week. Come on. Come on.
Calculating.
Oh, hey. I'm very happy with this. 104.9, if
nice.
You like that.
Hey, nice.
You know. So what does that work out to? 1.6 kilos.
That's a big drop.
Mm.
You were due.
Actually, the last couple of days have been very, very tough.
What have you been eating?
Not much.
Nothing. I've starved yourself.
Yeah.
What have you been eating?
Last
Seriously?
Night, I had a little bit of grilled fish and salad. That was all I had.
How you going?
I'm eating like a budgie at the moment.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah, no, I'm happy with that.
You're happy. I mean, you've copped a fair bit of flack in the last week or two.
Started at 113. Currently 104.9. Righto.
And still
turn.
Got 99 in the, as you go in the 99s.
I'm eating. Keep going. You know. I'm feeling that good. I'm feeling that good. Get to 99 and just keep going.
Hang on. Let's just kick a goal first.
I think I'm getting carried away, dude.
You're starting to get a bit carried. What, are you going to get down to your playing weight, 82, are you?
Yeah. Why not?
Why not? Just keep going.
Right, come on. Stop prolonging it. Get on. Right. Now, have you looked after yourself in the last couple of days?
Yes, I've been good.
What did you have for dinner last night?
I've had a very good week.
What did you have for dinner last night?
I
heard a rumor.
I actually had a 500-gram T-bone.
You idiot.
I'm that confident. I'm eating T-bones.
Oh, my God. All right, here you go. Get on.
Calculating. Calculating.
Spinning around like a chocolate wheel.
Ooh. Calculating.
Oh,
not
that's a
bad.
Shame. That's close.
Not bad.
That's close.
100.2. So down from 100.8 to 100.2.
So lost 0.6.
Still got a T-bone in the guts.
Yes. So you could have been under 100.
Well, I haven't been to the loo yet this morning.
Oh, well, you're definitely under 100.
Yeah. Once
report
I get,
back after you've been there.
I'll be 99.8. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It gets tougher as you get down to your goal.
We are definitely toning up, and I'm not raving on, but some of it's got to be muscle, doesn't it? It has to be.
Absolutely, yeah. But the main thing is you're getting rid of the fat off the outside.
That's
there,
right.
So you can see the muscles. You've got to take the curtains off so you can see out the window.
Very good.
You do. You can't see through with the curtains closed.
No. We did a boxing session yesterday.
Oh,
it's good work, isn't it?
Everyone was intimidated by how hard we're hitting the gloves. We were pounding the gloves in there.
But when it got hard, you're meant to hit the mitts on his hand. You wanted to hit him. Don't do that. Don't get angry.
I tell you what, he went the last session, instead of going for a minute, went for 2.5 minutes.
He tricked us.
I was one jab away from putting one on his chin, Daniel. I can tell you right now.
Well done. As a team, we've done it. We've had a good week.
Yep.
But we've got to keep going.
But we got Easter this weekend.
Yes, good point.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, we've got to keep
going. I'm up the river for 3 days.
Well, my view on this is
avoid alcohol.
You have to eat and drink at Easter. You've got your family around. To everyone listening, if you're having a bit of chocolate or hot cross bun, but have a workout.
No, but that's why we trained her, so we can have some fun. I'm getting on it.
All right.
Don't miss anything of Roo and Dits for breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Southgate Holden, 49 Main South Road, Ranella. 3 years free servicing plus 5 years warranty and 5 years roadside assist on the 2017 plate range. 104.7 Triple M.